Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of AWM Insights, where we cover all things investing. Brandon, I want to jump straight into the conversation today around the concentration of risk. We have seen markets continue to surprise investors with the positive returns in the midst of just continued negative information right around COVID, globally of what's going on. Congress doesn't really seem to be able to get on the same page about a potential stimulus package. And we actually got information last Thursday that the U.S. economy contracted 32.9% in the second quarter. So it's just this crazy time that where all of the economic news kind of points to things are not great. Markets continue to stabilize and increase. And it's really being led by only a few specific companies. Can you shed light on what is really contributing to the majority of the returns in the public stock market today?
Yeah, Eric, I think it's, you know, again, back to the tales of the haves and the have-nots. Unfortunately, what we've seen is quite a disparity on what's causing the, you know, the S&P 500, so the largest 500 companies in the U.S. to have a positive return this year. And what we're seeing, there was a recent study by FactSet and then Goldman Sachs, and it showed that the five largest companies have actually accounted for all the growth in the index this year, while the remaining 495 companies have actually produced negative returns. So as we look at this, it's pretty fascinating. You certainly just can't take the high level information. You have to peel back the onion a little bit to see what's really contributing to those returns. And it looks like it's down to five large companies that are producing it.
So leading the witness with the question here, why not just invest in those five companies, and why even not only worry about the other 495 in the United States, you know, large growth sector, but international? Like, why would I even think about investing anywhere except for these five FANG stocks?
Yeah, it's a great question, Eric. And obviously, I set you up for that easy layup there. You know, really, it all comes down to predicting the future. If you believe you've got some special power, some crystal ball, and you could have picked the time frame, which companies over which period that you could have isolated these, then all the power to you. I think, you know, any rational person that looks at the evidence and the data knows that that's not possible. You could get lucky maybe once or twice, but to consistently call that prediction, I think is kind of foolhardy. And we've seen that time and time again with the studies. So, you know, I think the interesting part here is what if you were guessing on some other stocks and you were predicting some other stocks to produce those returns? What happens? I mean, you would be significantly impacted to the downside. So yes, while if you got lucky and hit those five stocks for home runs over a long period of time, it doesn't produce a very consistent or, you know, positive investment experience.
I think one thing you hit on there that just is a good reminder of it, it also matters what time frame you're looking at. So sure enough, 2020, these FANG stocks have been on a blitzkrieg, right? And we would all have loved to been on that rocket ship of a ride. But I think we're not even a year removed where we saw Facebook drop close to 30% within weeks because of congressional hearing. And so can you talk a little bit about just not even using a specific case study, but why not individual equities if we're trying to really grow long-term wealth in a risk-adjusted way?
Yeah, Eric. I mean, I think, you know, even singling out individual companies is difficult because, you know, you can still create a diversified approach. However, just kind of isolating those individual companies, there are so many risks at play, right? So I think a great example of this is what's going on right now in the private markets. You've got President Trump trying to shut down TikTok 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I think if we would have asked any investor if they'd like to be in the parent company ByteDance that owns TikTok, they would have said yes. But very quickly, they're potentially looking at all their gains being eroded because of some regulatory risk. To the same effect, we're seeing all these tech companies, like you had mentioned, are testifying in front of Congress right now being questioned. You know, there's a lot of regulatory risk here that maybe people don't realize. So I think just you know, when you look at it, having that diversified approach is really kind of bringing you back to having the most consistent positive investment experience over time. So I think, you know, that concentration risk for most people is just far, far too great when you're trying to, you know, realize growth in your portfolio that's going to support you later in life.
One of the things I think is important to talk about, like you said, is we're really suggesting the importance of a globally diversified portfolio for your public portfolio, right? And for you, what we would call kind of your core capital. This is really with, if your goal is to grow your wealth long-term in one of the most consistent ways based off of historical evidence. Can you talk about when concentration does make sense? You know, if you're going to concentrate, should we be doing it in the public markets, the private markets? I mean, where does concentration make sense for an investor?
Yeah. So I think our opinion on this is concentration makes sense when you've achieved core capital. When you've achieved a certain set of money that gives you that safety moat to support your current lifestyle and the lifestyle that you desire for your family and potentially for generations ahead, depending on your goals. But once you achieve that number, then certainly if you want to take some concentration risk, then, you know, looking to the private markets is where we believe you can actually add value. We know that the information is efficient in the public markets. To gain an edge is probably not possible, certainly for most people. So really turning to the private markets is where you can grow your wealth, you know, exponentially. Now, I will say it comes with certainly a ton of risk, right? You're accepting the fact that you're concentrating your investment in one company or a handful of companies, and those very well could, you know, go out of business and you would lose all your capital in that case. But you're also looking at, you know, potentially excess returns. So you're looking at, hey, if I put a dollar at risk, you know, is the upside 10x or 100x maybe even, but, you know, you got to be willing to accept the downside there that potentially could go to zero. So it's a different game, but in our opinion, if you're going to go for that game, that's where you should be playing.
Brandon, that's super helpful. And I think just reminding our audience, right, and everybody listening in, first, thank you for tuning in once again. But really the goal of this podcast is to help you capture the returns that you deserve and using what is the evidence-based research out there. And so it's not necessarily we're sitting there saying that concentration never makes sense. It's just more of, are you sitting down with your certified private wealth advisor? Do you have a customized plan that really understands what is your goal? Like, what are you trying to accomplish within a specific set of time and resources? And so much of when we're talking about the downside of this concentrated risk, it's in that publicly traded portfolio. And so as Brandon had mentioned, it's not just, you know, the risk of one specific stock, but we see the same thing happen if you try to, you know, concentrate in a specific sector or a specific country. A lot of times we see home bias of, you know, if you live in the United States, you only hold companies in the United States. And just the research that we love to bring up is, you know, this isn't our opinion. This is so much backed by what we've seen is that it shows there is no reliable way to predict the top performers, that we know that broad diversification is the only way that can really reduce the unnecessary risk that you can diversify. Brandon always talks about diversification is the only free lunch in investing. And just to put some meat on that conversation is the compound average annual returns, if you are globally diversified from 1994 to 2018, was 7.2%. So fantastic returns. The curious thing is if you exclude only the top 10% of performers, those returns drop down to 2.9%. And then if you happen to accidentally exclude the top 25%, the return actually goes from a positive 7.2 to a negative 5.1%. And so realistically, what we're saying here is you have so much more risk of destroying your ability to grow your wealth by accidentally missing out on the companies that are going to perform best next year or the year after. And we know there's no reliable way to predict those. And so we appreciate your guys' attention. Hopefully this has been helpful for you. Of course, you can find all of the show notes over at awminsights.com. We'd love to hear from you as well on anything you'd like for us to cover in the future. And until then, stay humble, stay hungry, and always be a pro.